Good morning, Lance.
Hi, Patrick.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm
glad to hear it.
Had my morning walk. And
were you bundled up?
Yes.
Okay, so what's going on up there,
well,
Garden Sensei?
Yeah, this is in the garden. I'm just working into my pruning stuff, and I just wanted to mention a couple of things. And one is it really helps to have really sharp tools.
Why?
Clean cuts. Mm-hmm. Clean cuts reduce the chances of infection with just torn bark and stuff like that. And also, they heal better. Clean cuts.
Mm-hmm. Do you put anything on your cuts?
If they're really big cuts, you know, over 2 inches or larger, I'll put some Tree Seal on it or something. Yeah.
Where do you get Tree Seal?
Any of your garden center hardware stores will have it.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And then the other thing that I want to mention is if you do have diseases, leaf diseases, or something in your fruit trees of any sort, it's good to have a little hand sprayer of rubbing alcohol or some other disinfectant. And you can spray your tools every time you've made a pruning cut.
So you don't pass it on, huh?
Yeah, don't pass it on.
And what is that for again?
You know, there's different type of leaf diseases. I can't really see them off the top of it. There's the mildews. There's your pears and apples can also get fire blight. So you gotta, if you have any chance of that, it's much better to disinfect your tools every cut that you use them on.
Okay.
And then let's see what else. I mentioned this last summer and stuff. I had a disease get in the some of the grapevines, and it was called dead arm. And
oh yeah, I remember that.
And anyways, I will be pruning, and I'd never seen it before, so I had not been disinfecting my pruners, and that's how that gets in there. Wherever it came from, I don't know, but dead arm comes into the grapevine with the pruner with the new pruning where you made the cut.
Okay.
So. Anyway, so those are things. And also, when it's really cold, it's best to wait to let it warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tree branches actually can be frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is you're not cutting them, you're crushing them.
So the sap inside can be frozen?
Yeah, the sap, it won't heal as well.
Mm-hmm.
after you've pruned. So that's it doesn't hurt to wait at least into the, you know, what was it? What was the temperature this morning? 5-10 degrees?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I think they said it was 6 degrees in Paling itself.
Well, it's 13 now.
Okay, but you wait into the 20s, you know, if you want to. And the other thing I just like to keep on letting people know about saving their own seeds. Mm-hmm. So there's two books that I have here. One's a more basic one, and it's called Seed to Seed, and it's by Suzanne Ashworth, and she actually has done all this gardening and seed saving right out of her backyard in Sacramento, California. So it's a backyard gardener with a lot of simple techniques of how to do things.
What was her name? What was the author's name?
Suzanne Ashworth.
Ashworth, and the title?
Seed to Seed.
Are you going to be able to put that on our website?
Me?
Or somebody?
Somebody could.
All right.
I'm computer illiterate.
We'll have to have that passed on so we can have that up there.
Yeah. And the other one, this is the newer one, just came out last year, and it's the Organic Seed Grower. It's by John DeBasio, who I think came here a few years back, 2 or 3 years back, and gave a workshop on it. And it's also a farmer's guide to vegetable seed production, so it's growing your own seed commercially for the organic growers. And it's a little bit more detailed.
So in the age of Monsanto, it's probably a good idea for people to start banking up their own seeds.
Yes, yes. And that's it. So anyways, and then I just wanted to mention the stuff that I'm going to be growing out this next summer. And the biennials, which is the stuff I grew last year, and I've stored them. And then I'll set them out in the spring, probably late March or early April. And I got daikon radish, the big long white ones, the toric dark red, beet,
mm-hmm.
Sutherland kale, that's mulched and sitting out there just fine out in the garden. I didn't pull that up or anything. And then Danver carrots, New York early onions, and that's a yellow onion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the annuals I know for sure I'm growing are black-seeded Simpson lettuce, Oregon giant snow pea, and then, like, I'll be growing Montezuma red beans and Hutterite soup beans, and I'll get after I get those all harvested and cleaned, I will put a quart of each of those aside for the next time I grow it up. And the same with the white Japanese holus popcorn. I'll just save the best ears and go.
Do you make actually popcorn from it?
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I had some a couple nights ago.
Okay. Got anything else for us?
No, just that. It's quiet time of year, and we possibly will have a guest speaker next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Be looking forward to that, and have the listeners tuned in. And you want to give us a bit of idea who it's going to be or what it might be about?
Pat Brazier talking about biodynamics.
That'll be good.
I invite
the listeners to stay tuned for that next week.
Yeah, next week.
All right, Lance, we're going to bid you adieu. Let's get on with your day. Thanks for giving us a call.
All right, you take care.
Thanks for the info.
Bye.
Bye now. And we'll be trying to get that information on those authors in the books on our website, if you'd care to follow through on that. And you can catch Lance every Monday on As the Worm Turns.